newly returned city councilman Mike Sutherland. We've done this before.
Yes, sir, we have, and I'm back.
Yeah.
You know what? MacArthur says old soldiers never die, they just fade away. Some of them keep coming back.
Yeah, that's it. So newly elected to return to the Bryan City Council, now as a single-member district rather than at-large. This is a body that you have quite often had a divergent point of view about. I guess I want to talk about how has Mike Sutherland changed, is how has Mike Sutherland stayed the same, because there are a lot of times when you stood by yourself voting against things that the council did, and some of those things turned out pretty well.
Well, that's true, Scott. I really haven't changed. I think we ought to present our positions, try to justify your position, and try to win the others over. And if that doesn't work, well, it doesn't work, but that's what I'm supposed to do, and that's what I've been doing for years. So,
you know, I was looking back just... obviously, you voted for some things, but you voted against some things that basically had to do with transportation. I kind of want to understand, now as we look back at what Briarcrest looks like now, what University Drive, the Bryan portion of that looks like now, those areas have developed, and they've developed well, yet that was something that at least at the time, and this was back in 07 and 08, that you voted against that. But kind of I'd like to get your thoughts now. As you look at these areas, they have, in fact, expanded. They have, in fact, increased in business. They have, in fact, helped commerce in Bryan.
Which one do you want to start
with? Well, let's start. Okay, we can start with Briarcrest. That's
okay,
good.
Briarcrest... What happened there is the businesses came to me that were right across the street from the high school, and they said, you're going to kill us if you don't have a, at that time, there was no break in the median there. It was just, you had to go all the way around the block and go behind the buildings and all kinds of stuff like that. So, and also there was no breakdown further towards Eagle. They hadn't considered that. So I got people together with TxDOT and all that, and finally we got through to them, and finally the lady that's up there now was the one that finally listened to us and put that break in there. But that was the problem. They didn't want it. And the other problem was...
Talking to the district engineer, right?
Right, district engineer, TxDOT.
Right.
And she's really good. But the other problem that I saw was they were spending about $10 million, between $8 and $10 million...
This Christmas?
To take away a driving lane, and I couldn't see how that was going to help us. But in any case, and most of the accidents had been solved by putting the Walmart little yellow poles up there to keep people from turning left there. But the real problem that I saw was that the bridge is too small. The Briarcrest Bridge is too small, and our traffic had fallen off from 40,000 to 35,000 to 30,000 cars crossing that a day. That needed to be dealt with. That's where I was coming from.
Sure. Let's talk.
Okay. Wait a minute.
University Drive.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't vote against widening University Drive. I voted against putting an elaborate median there at the turn on the Copperfield.
Mm-hmm.
There was $300,000 or $400,000 being spent on that marker there. That's what I voted against.
Okay. Bryan is one of two cities in Texas that has a transportation fee. Now, I recall you've opposed that in the past.
Yes.
Still feel that way?
Yeah, because it's a regressive tax.
Okay.
And I've been approached by some of the other council members to try to do something about that. It needs to be rewritten. We probably need it, but it needs to be rewritten so it can be, it's fairer to older people, older businesses, smaller businesses, so you have a direct relationship in what you pay and what their traffic is to their location. Because some people have buildings that are closed, and they still pay that fee. College Station is not that way. It's a little different.
I've got one, and I'm kind of a fan of them, but you were against the BTU smart meters. You still feel that way, or is that a good...
Okay, you call me pot stir and lightning rod, and the reason that is because...
I didn't call you that today.
No, not today, right, exactly. but the problem is... people have issues, and I thought you got elected to represent people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think you got elected to represent your own interests. That's what I got a problem with. But people come and they say, Mike, the smart meters may cause me a problem. And if you read some literature, there was a lot of literature about it. You check the literature out, and some people can determine that they may have a problem with the emissions from those smart meters. Now, I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying what people say and what people brought to me. And so I did some research. We have a company here that does that smart meter thing in town, and so I went to them, and they sat down with me and explained it all to me, and they brought somebody from another electrical company in, and they said they have a policy that if you don't want a smart meter, you pay $75 or whatever it is not to have a smart meter, I don't remember how the meters were read. I think you maybe mail it in or something like that, but the meters were read in another fashion. But they accommodated those people, and I don't understand why, if people are afraid of something, why you can't accommodate them. That's, because it didn't cost us anything. Not anything at all. So that's where I was coming from.
Okay.
Wait, let's go back to the.
Sure.
Let's go back to the lightning rod at the pot store. What happened there?
Now look, I'm going to get you a banner if you want. We'll get you a sash to wear.
Maybe a name tag.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
What happens though is that the people have issues and they talk to other people in the city and they can't get their points across. So they come to me, and I'm a dummy, so I just take it, and I run with it and figure out what to do, and I bring it before the council and other people, and they've already been beaten down, so they beat on me about it. But that's my job. I don't care what your issue is, as long as it's not immoral or illegal,
okay,
I
now,
deal with it.
They've already been beaten down.
Right.
Who's the they?
Well, I want to say that. I don't want to specify.
No, I mean, do you mean members on
system,
council have already been beaten?
Okay. The system.
Right. You're talking about voters come to you because the system has beaten them down.
Exactly right. They can't get people to listen to them.
Okay.
And so when you... it's been my experience when I understand what their issue is and I get the staff together to look at it, they can understand it. And there's a little different perspective because many times the citizens, it's like a us or them deal. We're going to make you do it and we ain't going to do it. It's that kind of, they get adversarial, which is not productive. So I try to be the guy that tries to take care of both sides because I'm very sensitive to the position that the staff's in because I've been there myself many years ago. So,
they changed the charter as to what it took to get items onto the agenda. I'm not real smart, but I think I can put together a scenario where there might be a lot of new things added to an agenda now because there would be enough votes to do that. Are we going to end up spending a lot of time trying to answer questions that have already been answered to bring up, I don't know, for lack of a better word, maybe nitpicky things that have been solved for the vast majority of Bryan residents?
Well, whose call is that? Whose call is what is nitpicky?
Well, okay.
Who makes that decision?
Let me just say from the standpoint of the meters. Now, okay. For the vast majority, there apparently is not a problem. Now, I understand that you might want to put in some sort of a contingency for other people, but you can't spend all of your time trying to micromanage the system. Is that fair?
Who's going to do that?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Not me.
Okay.
I don't do that. I'm the people's representative. If people don't like listen, how did our country start? People didn't like what was going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped it. And we got a whole different country now. And that agenda item thing, that started from the city council people keeping me from putting stuff on the agenda.
Okay.
That's what that came from. And so I walked the streets with about 2,000 people. We got 2,000 signatures, about 60 people walking the streets. And we got a charter amendment. You know what the charter's about?
Hmm?
The charter is where the people say what's to be done. You read state law, and the charter says the citizens decide what to put in the charter. The citizens decide, not the elected people, not the staff. The citizens decide that. So if they don't want you to do something, they can tell you through the charter. And we're hired hands. We're employees of the citizens.
Mike Sutherland joining us this morning, newly reelected to the Bryan City Council. I've asked other members of council this before.
Well, don't ask me then.
No,
well, you said don't repeat. Don't repeat.
No. if I were to give Mike Sutherland a magic wand, okay, I mean, you have certainly items that you would like to see enacted. You have things that you would like to see done.
Right.
Give me a list of four things that Mike Sutherland would like to see done in the city of Bryan during your term.
I want to see the great schools website show the average score for Bryan schools to be 8 or 9. Right now it's a 5. I want to see...
Okay, time out. What does the city of Bryan have to do with that? That's the school district.
Are you serious?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Is that a serious question? Are you?
Yeah. You set the standards in the schools?
No, but the problem is, how do you have a successful city without a successful school system?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that. That is the fundamental underpinnings of your town is the school system. And you look at any town in the country, you can just drive across the city's limits right here and look at College Station schools, and wherever there's a high score in school, the property values are higher.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a multifaceted problem. How does Bryan impact that directly? We hire people, we bring businesses in here that have that don't have a prevailing wage, have minimum wages. People that have kids are on minimum wage have a real problem in the school system. The kids have a problem in the school system. So that's got to be changed. Austin and Travis County have a policy so that when you give them a break, when you give them a dollar for a tax rebate or something like that, they have to have prevailing wage, they have to have benefits, and they have to have certain percentage of the people living in their town.
All right, stop.
Okay.
Now stop.
All right.
I understand a prevailing wage.
Right.
You know what that really is?
Right.
What that is a living wage. You don't want to use that because that's a lightning rod word.
Okay. Well,
but
okay.
Here's the problem. This is a right to work state.
Right. Exactly.
There is a situation where you don't have the unions in Texas as you would in other places.
That's right.
Now let's say you bring new people in, and those people are going to have a prevailing wage of $17 an hour, for instance.
Well, that's not prevailing.
All right. Let's say, all right, what, $14 an hour, okay?
More like 10, but anyway, go ahead. All right.
That's not right. It's higher than 10.
All right, whatever it is.
Let's say 12, okay?
Okay, 12.
Give us something we can agree on.
Okay.
They're going to still be the vast majority of people who do not make that wage. Now, that's not going to raise their standard of living. You're going to cause prices to go up on everything.
Yeah.
That economically is not a good thing, especially in Texas. Part of the Texas formula, part of what makes Texas work, is that we're a right-to-work state, and we can keep taxes low so that dollars go further.
True.
Okay, so you don't talk about bringing a company in that's going to screw
wait,
up your...
Time out. We're not talking about somebody coming here and buying property and doing it on their own. We're talking about somebody coming here and getting $10 million, $5 million as a rebate on their taxes. And you give it to the company, the corporations, they take it to Houston, they take it to New York City or Arkansas, they don't spend it here.
Okay,
but
if you
get it to the people, they spend it here.
I can agree with you when it comes to
that. And they don't leave
that.
Our town. That's where we get... You make your money on people buying bread and cars and etc.
All right, you got three more to go. We're going to be here till Tuesday. We got three more to go. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
No, that's it. So that's one thing that Mike Southern would like to do.
Shoot.
What else?
Okay. Well, we have in District 4, there's drainage problems. Burton Creek is a real problem, been a problem for years. And they did a study in 2002 to show what could be done to repair it. At that time, it was like about $2 million probably. And now it's probably going to be $3 or $4 million. But houses consistently flood along Burton Creek. I mean, almost every time it rains. Poor people, and new people come in and buy the houses, they get flooded. So that needs to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And it's getting worse because some houses hadn't been flooded in 30 or 40 years. And now they're getting flooded.
Sure. Yep. Know that. Okay. That's two things.
Right.
What else?
Okay. And the third, how many do we have?
I'll give you four.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you a chance to wrap up on anything I didn't cover.
Okay.
So again, we could be here a while, but go ahead. Yeah.
Right. And the fourth thing is, I can't remember. No, the third thing. We're on the third thing.
Go ahead, Rick.
the third thing is that we have to develop rooftops. We have to come up with some kind of incentive for people to build their homes here with their children, hopefully high-performing children. Because I believe if you bring, like A&M school system is bolstered by the children that go there associated with the university. Their kids are tuned in on education, and they have a lot easier time in the school system. So we got to get some of those kids in our school system. And to do that, there's going to have to be some kind of incentive because we're adversely selected right now.
Okay, you're shining a light on a problem. So let me hear a Mike Sutherland solution to that.
I don't want to be laughed at after a while.
Well,
now,
no.
This is just off the top. Okay?
No, that's exactly right. And that's what, I mean, I understand that.
This is about, you know what, to go where I want to go, you got to let people express themselves and come up with a bunch of ideas and sort through them.
I have not disagreed with anything that you said on these three things, okay?
Okay?
I mean, schools are very important.
Right.
It does tie to the city. I just don't see that the city can do something. Burton Creek, you're exactly right. And you're
I
saying the same thing.
I said one. I said about the wages.
Right.
And the
okay. And then rooftops. We need more rooftops.
Number two is that, the city now has an incentive for builders to get $3,000 or $4,000 back on a house.
Right.
Okay? So who gets the money? One or two guys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One or two guys benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And where do they live? Probably in College Station. Okay. So what my deal is, my deal is that what you need to do is you need to incent the homeowner. And my framework now is what we do for commercial. Commercial, you give a 10-year rebate. So I'm thinking if you got two kids that are in school and high performing, I don't know how you'd figure that out, but, two kids in school, and you want to build a house, you can get a 10-year tax rebate. That's worth about $10,000, and so the builders would benefit because they can probably charge a higher price for the house, but the homeowners would benefit too because they're getting a tax break.
Okay.
Don't laugh.
I'm listening. No.
Okay.
But what I'm doing, I want to hear what your ideas are. I mean, that's what this program is about, for you to do that.
So those kind of things for me work out like that animal shelter deal, that you were involved in, your wife was involved in. And I thought, I know history. Anyway, my solution was to take it over and let's do it ourselves. Okay, but as it turned out, we got two animal shelters. So we got twice the people taking care of animals. So that's why the euthanasia rate's so low now, because of that. Yep. I didn't do that, though, but, I knew something was wrong. Hell, I didn't know what to do, but, I knew something.
It was a consequence. It was not seen at the time.
Right, exactly.
I would agree with you completely on that. All right, so I'm glad you've come up with an issue or two we can talk about. Is there anything else that, again, we'll have you back in, but what I'm trying to do is make sure that people understand what the Mike Sutherland vision for the city is and where you think we could improve.
I think they understand it because in this race, we had eight mayors, 11 council members. We had the pack or the real estate pack against us. We had the firemen against us. And we only had about a quarter of the money that the other side had. And the people listened to us. I don't know how they sorted it out with all this stuff against us. But I had faith in them before, and I really got faith in them now. And especially with that charter amendment. You know, the charter amendment, nobody's talking about the charter amendment. But the charter amendment, there's about 10,000 people that voted on that, and about 7,000 voted for each one of them. So the people are serious about that. And the word was that you can't understand it. It's poorly written. I wrote them, by the way. But anyway, poorly written, didn't make sense and all that stuff.
But why didn't you give it to the city, attorney? Why didn't you give it to the city attorney first? Can I ask you that?
We're the people. We don't have to have an attorney help us.
Okay, but if the AG strikes it down, then
they
aren't
they can't. They can't strike it down because the people say what they want. And the second thing is, this is not about your voting rights or her voting rights or my voting rights. This is about our employees. Talking to our employees. The city manager can't do those things that we got on there. So if our employees do not like that situation, quit. Go somewhere else. That's the way it is. And the people say to do that. Not the people are saying to that. And the Constitution says we the people. And yeah. In Texas, it's the same way. Mm-hmm. And so when you ignore the people, you get in trouble. And that's what happened on that. The people that were against that, the charter amendment, the city spent about $35,000.
Huh? Not against it. No. That was about.
Well,
no,
let me finish. Hang on. Let me finish. There was about $35,000 from the city. There was about $50,000 from that PAC, okay? And the PAC had all kinds of advertisements on your radio, on television. I mean, it was like every hour, every 30 minutes.
I understand.
And it was very specific about what they were trying to get across. But the people did not buy it. The people understood what it was about. It was a very simple language. I mean, 7,000 people could understand it. I don't know what the problem is.
Now, my understanding is now that the city does it only from an informational standpoint. You don't take a stance.
Only for information.
That's correct. We are able to publish and produce curriculum that would educate the public, just like Brian ISD did a flyer on their bond election and all that. Our city attorney's office prepared, with some help from the former chair of the Texas Ethics Commission, wrote an educational piece that was meant to educate the public. We certainly did not spend $35,000 on it. Let me tell you what the $35,000 budget request was for, Mike.
Okay.
When you're going to have an election with only two single-member districts, because that was all that would have been on the regular ballot, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, when you go from two single-member districts to five or citywide, your costs are going to go up, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's the bulk of that.
Well, but the advertisement cost $5,000 a page.
No, it wasn't that much.
They charged me.
Well, you're not a governmental entity. You're not a governmental entity, and by law, they have to give us their lowest published rate.
Okay, but in any case,
we didn't spend that much. So, just wanted to clarify, the $35,000 was to cover the entire cost of going from two single member districts to all citywide, plus an educational piece that the council asked us to do.
Okay. I'm just glad we have two elevators.
No, we get along fine. Now, you know, the point, that this is a good point because we love this. We love to argue with one another. But when it's done, we're done. When we're done, we're done. You know, it's over. You know?
Okay. That's what we're looking for.
Mike called me the morning after the election, and we talked for about an hour. And at the end of the call, he said, well, obviously, we're going to be arguing a lot. I said, obviously.
And they got a chance to do some of it here this morning. Mike, thank you. Mary Lynn, thank you for being in here this morning. And Mike, thank
my
you for
pleasure.
Coming
thank
in.
You
all right.
Having
all right. That's our community segment. It's brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
Are you looking for an experienced insurance company?